but that is still 100 million times farther than a trip to the moon. To reach it by spaceship would take at least 25,000 years, and even if you made the trip, you still wouldn't be anywhere except at a lonely clutch of stars in the middle of a vast nowhere. To reach the next landmark of consequence, Sirius, would involve another 4.6 light years of travel, and so it would go if you tried to star hop your way across the cosmos. Just reaching the center of our own galaxy would take far longer than we have existed as beings. Space, let me repeat, is enormous. The average distance between stars out there is 20 million million miles. Even at speeds approaching those of light, these are fantastically challenging distances for any traveling individual. Of course, it is possible that alien beings travel billions of miles to amuse themselves by planting crop circles in Wiltshire or frightening the daylights out of some poor guy in a pickup truck on a lonely road in Arizona. They must have been teenagers after all, but it does seem unlikely. Still, statistically, the probability that there are other thinking beings out there is good. Nobody knows how many stars there are in the Milky Way. Estimates range from 100 billion or so to perhaps 400 billion. And the Milky Way is just one of 140 billion or so other galaxies, many of them even larger than ours. In the 1960s, a professor at Cornell named Frank Drake, excited by such whopping numbers, worked out a famous equation designed to calculate the chances of advanced life in the cosmos based on a series of diminishing probabilities. Under Drake's equation, you divide the number of stars in a selected portion of the universe by the number of stars that are likely to have planetary systems. Divide that by the number of planetary systems that could theoretically support life. Divide that by the number on which life, having arisen, advances to a state of intelligence, and so on. At each such division, the number shrinks colossally. Yet even with the most conservative inputs, the number of advanced civilizations just in the Milky Way always works out to be somewhere in the millions. What an interesting and exciting thought. We may be only one of millions of advanced civilizations. Unfortunately, space being spacious, the average distance between any two of these civilizations is reckoned to be at least 200 light years, which is a great deal more than merely saying it makes it sound. It means, for a start, that even if these beings know we are here and are somehow able to see us in their telescopes, they're watching light that left Earth 200 years ago. So they're not seeing you and me. They're watching the French Revolution and Thomas Jefferson and people in silk stockings and powdered wigs, people who don't know what an atom is or a gene and who make their electricity by rubbing a rod of amber with a piece of fur and think that's quite a trick. Any message we receive from them is likely to begin, "Dear sire, and congratulate us on the handsomeness of our horses and our mastery of whale oil." 200 light years is a distance so far beyond us as to be, well, just beyond us. So even if we are not really alone, in all practical terms, we are. Carl Sagan calculated the number of probable planets in the universe at large at 10 billion trillion, a number vastly beyond imagining. But what is equally beyond imagining is the amount of space through which they are likely scattered. If we were randomly inserted into the universe, Sagan wrote, the chances that you would be on or near a planet would be less than 1 in a billion trillion trillion. That's 10 to the power of 33, or a 1 followed by 33 zeros. Worlds are precious. Which is why perhaps it is good news that in February 1999, the International Astronomical Union ruled officially that Pluto is a planet. The universe is a big and lonely place. We can do with all the neighbors we can get. 3. The Reverend Evans's Universe. When the skies are clear and the moon is not too bright, the Reverend Robert Evans, a quiet and cheerful man, lugs a bulky telescope onto the back deck of his home in the Blue Mountains of Australia, about 50 miles west of Sydney, and does an extraordinary thing. He looks deep into the past and finds dying stars. Looking into the past is, of course, the easy part. Glance at the night sky and what you see is history, and lots of it. The stars are not as they are now, but as they were when their light left them. For all we know, the North Star, our faithful companion, might actually have burned out last January, or in 1854, or at any time since the early 14th century, and news of it just hasn't reached us yet. The best we can say, can ever say, is that it was still burning on this date 680 years ago. Stars die all the time. What Bob Evans does better than anyone else who has ever tried is spot these moments of celestial farewell. By day, Evans is a kindly and now semi-retired minister in the Uniting Church in Australia, who does a bit of freelance work and researches the history of 19th century religious movements. But by night, he is, in his unassuming way, a titan of the skies. He hunts supernovae. Supernovae occur when a giant star, one much bigger than our own sun, collapses, and then spectacularly explodes, releasing in an instant the energy of 100 billion suns, burning for a time brighter than all the stars in its galaxy. "It's like a trillion hydrogen bombs going off at once," says Evans. If a supernova explosion happened within 500 light-years of us, we would be goners, according to Evans. It would wreck the show, as he cheerfully puts it. But the universe is vast, and supernovae are normally much too far away to harm us. In fact, most are so unimaginably distant that their light reaches us as no more than the faintest twinkle. For the month or so that they are visible, all that distinguishes them from the other stars in the sky is that they occupy a point of space that wasn't filled before. It is these anomalous, very occasional pricks in the crowded dome of the night sky that the Reverend Evans finds. To understand what a feat this is, imagine a standard dining room table covered in a black tablecloth and someone throwing a handful of salt across it. The scattered grains can be thought of as a galaxy. Now imagine 1,500 more tables.